BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today for a Friday News Roundup on Crosstalk. And we have got a ton of material that Lori has put together for us today to keep you informed on critical issues. And folks, we're really at this continued crossroads. I mean, we have the choice of going one of two directions here across this nation, even as we look forward to the 2020 elections taking place. And if it sounds so far away to you, keep in mind that we are just, 6 months away from having the first caucuses and primaries taking place here in January of this new year. And so, therefore, I trust that you are in earnest prayer regarding the direction of this country and for this country here as we approach these upcoming important days. And certainly, as we cover many issues here today, if this does not burden your heart, you better check your pulse. We're going to begin, folks, with what's happened over the last two nights, and that is the Democratic debates that were taking place. And as the story on LifeSite News puts it, it made it very crystal clear that it's abortion extremism in its wokest and most horrific form that's going to be at center stage for the duration of this presidential campaign. Because the views had been given by numerous candidates. Wednesday night's debate, Governor Jay Inslee of Washington touted his record of requiring insurance companies to pay for abortion coverage. Rebecca Downs at townhall.com outlined these narratives. We also have the remarks where Senator Amy Klobuchar seeking to respond to Inslee with a reminder that there are three women up here that have fought pretty hard for a woman's right to choose. We have former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Julian Castro, answering that his government health care option plan would cover abortion, even throwing in a line saying, quote, "I don't believe only in reproductive freedom. I believe in reproductive justice." Lester Holt asked Elizabeth Warren, "Would you put any limits on abortion?" Here's what she had to say.
Senator Warren, would you put limits on any limits on abortion?
I would make certain that every woman has access to the full range of reproductive health care services, and that includes birth control, it includes abortion.
Yeah, Senator Bernie Sanders as well talked about his plan, and he doubled down on how his Medicare for All plan would include abortion coverage. Listen to what Bernie Sanders had to say on this issue and even his litmus test for judges.
Let me make a promise here. You ask about litmus test. My litmus test is I will never appoint nominate any justice to the Supreme Court unless that justice is 100% clear he or she will defend Roe v. Wade. Third of all, I do not believe in packing the court. We got a terrible 5-4 majority conservative court right now. But I do believe that constitutionally we have the power to rotate judges to other courts. And that brings in new blood into the Supreme Court and a majority, I hope, that will understand that a woman has the right to control her own body and that corporations cannot run
Senator, United States of America. I'm going to give you 10 additional seconds because the question is, what if the court has already overturned Roe and Roe is gone? All of the things you just described would be to try to preserve Roe. If Roe is gone, what could you do as president to preserve abortion rights?
Well, first of all, let me tell you this. Didn't come up here, but let's face this. Medicare for All guarantees every woman in this country the right to have an abortion if she wants it.
Thank you, folks. How far are we going to go down this trail? Medicare for All will ensure that every woman in this country can abort? And then he talked about the rotation of judges, rotating judges off the Supreme Court to other district courts and putting district court judges. Well, where is he coming up with this idea? And as the writer here from townhall.com said, too, what really took the cake was rapidly pro-abortion Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who you may recall, compared pro-lifers to racist and to anti-Semites. Kamala Harris said, and this is from lifenews.com, that she will fight for women by forcing Americans to pay for abortions if she is elected president of the United States. We will force Americans to pay for abortions. Well, that issue was universally felt across the platforms as who can out-abortion who. On another issue, we have candidates that were talking about transgender rights on the stage. It's amazing. It's like a debate on Romans chapter 1. How far do we want to be corrupted in this nation? Listen to what Cory Booker had to say.
Look, civil rights is some place to begin, but in the African-American civil rights community, another place to focus on was to stop the lynching of African-Americans. We do not talk enough about trans Americans, especially African-American trans Americans, and the incredibly high rates of murder right now. We don't talk enough about how many children, about 30% of LGBTQ kids, who do not go to school because of fear. It's not enough just to be on the Equality Act. I'm an original co-sponsor. We need to have a president that will fight to protect LGBTQ Americans single day from violence.
Thank you, Senator Booker.
And now keep in mind, he said the Equality Act is not enough. And mark our words, because we've said this before, that they have said before that the Equality Act is just the first step. Just the first step. Cory Booker is saying the Equality Act is not enough. And the Equality Act, folks, as we have talked about it so often, is going to force every business across this land to open up their restrooms to however one perceives their gender. Locker rooms, showers, churches would be impacted by this. And keep in mind, the legislation says, by the way, the Freedom Restoration Act, it doesn't apply. Go take your religious freedoms someplace else. They don't apply to this. Churches, think about this. Your membership, your facilities at your church, your youth programs at your church. And they're saying that the Equality Act does not go far enough. Further at this debate, you know, Julian Castro talked about transgender women. This was Wednesday night's debate. He talked about his stance on reproductive health care, saying trans women should have the right to choose abortion access. Think about it, folks. A trans woman is a biological male identifying as a female. And he said that this individual, a trans woman, a biological male identifying as a woman, should have the right to choose abortion access. Townhall.com, every single Democratic presidential candidate on stage also during Thursday's debate raised their hands in favor of giving illegal immigrants free health care. Free health care for those who are breaking the law coming into our land. Very interesting observance that happened. An NBC News analyst actually declared President Trump the winner of the first Democratic presidential debate. Reporter Jonathan Allen expressed surprise that Trump emerged largely unscathed as a field of 10 candidates mostly avoided direct attacks on him, reports FoxNews.com. Fox also said that through several of the candidates gave strong preferences or performances and delivered crowd-pleasing one-liners, only one clear winner emerged from the first debate. That was Donald Trump. From WND.com, in apparent acknowledgement that the party has a God problem, the Democratic National Committee has hired a religious outreach director and will hold listening sessions with faith leaders leading up to the 2020 election. FoxNews.com recalled a headline during the Democrats' 2012 presidential convention, "Democrats boo God and the heckling of a preacher during an opening prayer in 2016. Now the DNC has hired a former pastor, Reverend Derek Harkins. He's a former senior vice president of Union Theological Seminary in New York City, which recently celebrated rejoicing in the queerness of God. He said faith will be a priority going into 2020, but even more importantly, beyond 2020. Democrats have further alienated themselves from many religious voters by promoting abortion and same-sex marriage, reports WND.com. Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg, the openly gay mayor of South Bend, Indiana, said in a speech to the LGBTQ Victory Fund, quote, "The thing I wish the Mike Pences of this world would understand, if you got a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator." During the 2012 Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, delegates booed, jeered, and shook their fist when the chairman declared that an amendment to the party's platform, Restore Mention of God, had been adopted. Oh, we played that audio clip back then. And the audience, the crowds at the DNC booed when he said that God was going to be restored back into the platform. From LifeNews.com, President Trump said in an interview airing Sunday that he is 100% certain that Vice President Mike Pence will be his running mate in 2020, and he will accept the results of the election if he loses. I'd like to play another clip for you here as well. And one of our Crosstalk listeners out of Washington shared the clip. I'd heard it several days ago and didn't make mention of it, and I'd like to bring it back. But this is a councilwoman in Denver, Colorado, representing District 9, Candy Sidibaka. And listen to what she has to say. She is now active on the city council as it relates to socialism, communism versus capitalism. Here's her view.
I don't believe that our current economic system actually works. Capitalism by design is extractive, and in order to generate profit in a capitalist system, something has to be exploited. That's land, labor, or resources. And I think that we're in late phase capitalism, and we know it doesn't work, and we've got to move into something new. And I believe in community ownership of land, labor, resources, and distribution of those resources. And so whatever that morphs into, I think is what will serve community the best. And I'm excited to usher it in by any means necessary.
Folks, do you hear what she's saying? She is willing to usher this in by any means necessary. She said we're in late phase capitalism. She said we know it doesn't work and we have to move into something new. What do you suggest? Do we turn into Venezuela? From the Washington Examiner, the Supreme Court on Thursday ruled that the claims of partisan gerrymandering are beyond the reach of the federal courts, delivering a sharp blow to challengers who hope the justices would endorse a standard for determining when a map is so infected with politics that it violates the Constitution. The court was split 5-4. Also, from FoxNews.com, President Trump vowed yesterday to try delaying the 2020 census after the Supreme Court blocked for now his administration's plan to include a question that inquires about citizenship status. The court had said that the administration's explanation for adding the question was insufficient and sent it back to the lower court for further consideration. The ruling marked a major setback for the administration. In a fiery Twitter response to the narrow ruling, the president said it seems totally ridiculous for the government not to ask such a basic question. I've asked the lawyers if they can delay the census no matter how long until the U.S. Supreme Court is given additional information from which it can make a final decision and decisive decision on this very critical matter. We used to ask this question in the census, and now the Supreme Court delaying, can we or not have this on? And they're saying we're not so much saying you can't, but it's the reasoning why you want it back on the census form. Now, this coming Tuesday, Lord willing, Matt Staver from Liberty Council is going to be on Crosstalk with us to discuss the latest Supreme Court rulings and their impact, also with a head to the court ahead. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do comets come from?
Chris, comets pose a very difficult problem for long-age evolution. Many of these comets are short-lived. They last only a few trips around the sun, but yet our solar system is full of comets. Therefore, it can't be very old. Evolutionists have proposed a hypothetical source of comets called the Kuiper Belt. Photographs from the Hubble telescope seem to support the claim. Unfortunately, recent studies of these same photos declare that the Kuiper Belt has not been found. There is no source of comets which would keep our solar system supplied with them. The Bible says that the entire universe was created in creation week, along with everything else. It's not billions of years old, and the evidence that we see supports this. Everything goes back to Genesis, and so it should.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, having a news roundup day here today. And folks, it's outrageous what is happening here across this land. I mean, just think about the debates from the last two nights. Who has a stronger position about killing the most babies in our country? I mean, it's outrageous what's going on. And truly, the heart of man is wicked. It's deceitful. It's depraved. And we are seeing such vivid examples of that before our very eyes. So we mentioned, Lord willing, on Tuesday, Matt Staver will be with us to talk about some of the recent Supreme Court cases and things that have fallen out as a result, and giving further examination to that. But just today, the U.S. Supreme Court has decided to hear a case whether President Trump has acted lawfully in ending the DACA program. And they have agreed to take this case in their next term that starts in October. From FoxNews.com, a coalition of moderate Democrats and Republicans. Now, this is an interesting story and follow-up to our talk yesterday, our guest from the Citizens for Immigration Studies. They approved crucial border funding legislation late Thursday in the House, sending a $4.6 billion bill to President Trump's desk for his expected signature. After Speaker Nancy Pelosi backed down from a push to include restrictions on immigration enforcement that could scuttle the measure. In doing so, Pelosi risked a severe backlash from the progressive base for those measures. I mean, AOC, she was absolutely outraged. I'm not going to give you her quote. I don't talk that way, but she was outraged. The Speaker agreed to bring the bipartisan Senate passed bill to a vote without restrictions. There was a lot of pressure from Republicans and moderates in her own party. The Senate had passed it 84-8, while the House went through the procedures, passed the bill yesterday late, 305-102. Also from FoxNews.com, President Trump Monday sent an executive order demanding the upfront disclosure by hospitals of the actual prices for common tests and procedures. His order requires that patients be told ahead of time what their out-of-pocket costs like deductibles and co-pays will be for many procedures. The Health and Human Services Secretary, Alex Azar, told reporters before the president's remarks that the idea is to give patients practical information that they can use to help save money. For instance, if a hospital charges your insurer $3,500 for a type of echocardiogram and the same cost as $550 in a doctor's office, you might go for the lower price procedure to save on copays. So we'll see how this actually funnels down here into our local doctor's offices. Also, from Fox, Stephanie Grisham, top aide to First Lady Melania Trump, has been picked to replace Sarah Sanders as a White House press secretary. She's developed a reputation as a fierce defender for the First Lady, and she will become the White House communications director. And also this story, a Minnesota city is reconsidering its decision to no longer say the Pledge of Allegiance at the start of city council meetings after facing a major backlash. The St. Louis Park City Council unanimously voted June 17th to amend the procedure's rules so that the pledge would no longer be said before the start of every session in an effort to serve a more diverse community. We're not going to say that, you know, we have that phrase, undivided, one nation under God, undivided. No, we're serving now a more diverse community, and so therefore we're not going to say the pledge before all our council meetings any longer. They said we might do it if the scouts come in, you know, for some event here. Well, as it stands, the new procedure will go into effect July 15th unless a change is made during their July 8th session. It's amazing, folks. From the Western Journal, the County of Los Angeles has begun the process of removing up to 1.5 million names from its voter rolls as a result of a lawsuit brought by the judicial conservative group Judicial Watch. Their president, Tom Fitton, said, quote, "In California, we found there are many counties like Los Angeles that have more people on the rolls than living there and eligible to vote. That's pretty good indication that they're not taking reasonable steps to clean up the rolls." He noted that Los Angeles County has more than 10 million residents, making it the most populous in the United States. That's larger than 40 of the 50 states. Judicial Watch found that there were 20% more names on the voter rolls in the county than were eligible to vote. And so the courts have forced Los Angeles to remove now up to 1.5 million names from voter rolls as a result of settling a lawsuit. From Wisconsin Family Council, we made you aware of the order by Governor Tony Evers of Wisconsin to hoist up the pride flag above the state capitol. And just a couple days after this, after phone calls of opposition started going in, the governor started holding his own petition drive to substantiate the horrible decision that he made. Well, in response, Wisconsin Family Council launched their own petition drive, and Jelaine Appling, president of Wisconsin Family Council, along with a group of concerned citizens, delivered 10,000 signed petitions to Governor Tony Evers' office in the east wing of the state capitol earlier this week. The petition addresses the governor's decision earlier this month to fly the rainbow pride flag over the state capitol and authorizing other state and public buildings to do so if they chose to. Jelaine Appling said Governor Evers said during his campaign and has repeated since he took office that he wants to unite Wisconsin. She said flying the special interest group flag over the seat of government belonging to all Wisconsin citizens is anything but unifying. The New American has an interesting story in which they say a prominent homosexual activist group is sounding an alarm over the results of its own research showing that young adults are moving away from the traditional tolerance toward homosexuality and LGBTQ individuals and issues. The Accelerating Acceptance Survey, conducted by the Harris Polling Group on behalf of the gay rights organization GLAAD, found that 18 to 34-year-old adults began to shift away from their tolerance for those identifying as LGBTQ than in previous surveys over the past 2 years. It's getting so radical, folks, as to what's going on. Absolutely radical as to what's going on. I mean, we have coming up, and the other day we mentioned the Barnes & Noble story times that were going on in Kennewick, Washington, and then, what was it, Omaha, Nebraska, that was going on. And then a listener called us afterwards and said, hey, did you know the Barnes & Noble in Racine, Wisconsin is holding a Pride story time? And sure enough, tomorrow this is scheduled. And in the Barnes & Noble in Racine, Wisconsin, and evidently it's popping up, somebody communicated to us today that they contacted the Racine Barnes & Noble, who said, well, this is coming down from corporate. Well, they're reading stories like Prince and King, you know, where this the parents of a prince are trying to find him a bride, but instead of a princess, he meets this knight. And both the king and queen are happy now that he found his true love. They have this maiden princess story as well that they're going to be reading tomorrow about a girl, a princess forming a romantic bond with another girl, another story that's promoting transgenderism. One individual said, we're going to be there and encourage other people to be there in opposition to this. Well, LifeSiteNews.com says a storybook pride prom drag event scheduled for teens 14 to 18 in Jacksonville, Florida, that had been scheduled for today, canceled. Canceled after concerned parents convinced librarians to shut it down. The activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnson, parents and pro-family activists convinced the librarians at the Willow Branch branch of the Jackson Public Library in Riverside to cancel the event that encouraged teens to dress in drag. From WND.com, families are in an uproar after the head of a pro-transgender activist group called Mermaids posted online 1,000 pages of confidential emails about children with transgender issues. Names were included. So were addresses, telephone numbers, and deeply intimate details of children's mental state and medical histories. Parents weren't left out. Their comments and questions were posted for the public to see. The emails, 1,000 pages, confidential emails from 2016 and 2017, available online for anyone to read, then been sent confidentially to Mermaid CEO Susie Green, who then posted them in an online group which stated that its archives are visible to everyone. Parents calling for a government investigation. Mermaids insisted the breach was a mistake. A mistake indeed. CBN reports the California State Assembly has passed a resolution telling pastors to affirm homosexuality in violation of their biblical beliefs. Assemblyman Evan Lowe and 36 other lawmakers pushed the resolution in the State Assembly Judiciary Committee that's aimed at telling religious leaders in California what they should preach from their pulpits. This is another issue I'm going to be bringing up with Matt Staver, Lord willing, on Tuesday's program. This resolution condemns counseling for unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion, sometimes referred to as conversion therapy. And Liberty Counsel points out their outrage because the Azusa Pacific University chaplain, former head of the National Association of Evangelicals, testified in favor of this resolution. And now the California State Assembly has passed this resolution telling pastors you need to affirm homosexuality in violation of your own biblical beliefs, but you need to affirm this in your messages. From WND.com, amid increasing evidence that Representative Ilhan Omar married her brother in an apparent illegal immigration scheme, a Minnesota state lawmaker is calling for a federal ethics inquiry into the congresswoman. State Representative Steve Drazkowski made the plea Tuesday in a letter to U.S. Representative Angie Craig, a Minnesota Democrat also serving her first term in Congress. At a news conference in St. Paul, Drazkowski said Omar appears to be a serial career criminal and should not have access to our nation's highest secrets and intelligence, end of quote. From the Daily Mail, ISIS supporters have threatened to blow up Big Ben and attack New York in chilling new series of propaganda posters. That would be ahead of the U.S. July 4th celebrations. Terrorists shared an image of Big Ben in London, which was digitally manipulated, removing the scaffolding and adding flames along with a caption, "Coming soon." Brooklyn Bridge, New York, another site threatened by the terrorist in the propaganda sheet. Also, Iran, this is from Jihad Watch. Iran setting up a network of terror cells in Africa to attack U.S. and other Western targets in retaliation for Washington's decision to impose sanctions against Tehran, according to Western security officials. And from WND.com, Iran dispatched a container of explosives to Paris to create a bomb to terrorize the French capital, but the plot was foiled when authorities stopped a vehicle that was intended to deliver the destruction, the Jerusalem Post reported. The attack was supposed to be carried out by an Iranian intelligence official who worked at the Iranian embassy in Austria, the report said. However, French intelligence thwarted the attack after the authorities arrested a Belgian couple of Iranian origin who had the explosives in their car on their way to Paris. Can't say anything bad about Islam. Nations belonging to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the OIC, and other governments adhering to Sharia across the world are ramping up their new campaign with the UN to prohibit all speech that Muslims consider offensive. Islamist nations long have sought a determination from the UN that any criticism of Islam or Muslims is Islamophobia and should be banned globally. Noting that with 57 members, the OIC represents the largest voting bloc in the UN. After UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres unveiled the new UN strategy and plan of action to fight so-called hate speech at a special meeting in the Pact Economic and Social Chamber, the Pakistan ambassador incited more support to silence any opposition to Islam and its adherents, including speech condemning Islam for its scriptural inciting of terrorists to conduct jihad, that's holy war, on infidels. You can't quote the Quran, folks. That's hate speech. And now the UN is poised to launch a global ban on all criticism of Islam. Back in a minute.
It is hard to believe that our society has changed so much that sharing the love of Christ might be characterized as hate. Yet the greatest need of mankind is to come to personal faith in Jesus Christ. To many, witnessing can be daunting, discouraging, and difficult in many ways, and as a result, many shy away from sharing this good news. In the book, By Which We Are Saved, authors Preston and Kelly Condra provide helpful information on sharing the gospel with confidence. It's a complete handbook for witnessing, equipping the Christian with not only the gospel message, but how to handle objections with concise responses. You will learn how you can incorporate evangelism more fully in your daily life. by which we are saved, is available from VCY for a donation of $16 or more. To obtain your copy, call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's News Roundup Day today. And, folks, I have not even gone through half the stack of material that I had before me today. It is outrageous what is taking place. And if this does not burden your heart for our nation and for our world and what's going on, how people are turning their back on God, rejecting Him, and putting laws into effect and policies in place. California with the resolution, I should say, pastors, what they should be preaching on and what things they should not be saying from the pulpits. Here we have the push coming through the UN about not being able to say anything in opposition to Islam, including the passages that talk about killing the infidel. Then we see what's happening in places like the UK. This is from Breitbart. Thefts on the iconic London Underground subway system have surged by more than 80% since 2016 and 2017, around the time Sadiq Khan became city mayor. What else has happened? What else has happened since he became mayor? I'll tell you this, knifings have greatly increased. Not only knifings, but guess what's the new thing now? It's acid attacks. The number of recorded acid attacks incidents has almost tripled from 228 in 2012 to 601 attacks in 2016, reports Pamela Geller. London has become a hotspot for the liquid weapon, accounting for more than half of the total incidents. The UK has one of the highest rates of acid attacks per capita in the world, according to Acid Survivors Trust International. It is so bad that in the UK, a British doctor has created a makeup to act as armor against the rising problem of acid attacks. The threat of acid attack in certain sections of London is so real that at least one former government official is labeling the community a no-go zone for those who aren't already in compliance with Sharia. They're calling it acid jihad. And now you've got male thugs dressed up as women, wearing the burqas and launching these acid attacks. A couple more just happened here recently, where a couple had to be whisked off for medical treatment. But yeah, men dressed as women in burqas. Is that why Islam and transgenderism is so linked arm in arm here in our nation? And also in Khan's London, with the UK having one of the highest rates of acid attacks per capita in the world, London has emerged as this hotspot for acid attacks, and now there are signs being put up. I don't know if these are like at bus locations or transit locations. In the event of an acid attack, here's what you do. First of all, you report it, and they give you the number to call. And then you remove contaminated clothing carefully and then rinse immediately in running water. I mean, the NHS in England having to put up these posters, what to do in the event of acid attacks. Thank you, Islam, for what's going on there. As we mentioned, a British doctor has created these acid-proof makeup now to protect from the attacks. And guess what, folks? It's spreading. From Pamela Geller as well, came out June 22nd. Two people were injured after acid was thrown at them at a residential building in Toronto's West End. Female patient transported to the hospital, serious condition following the assault, Toronto Paramedic Services have said. It's the second of its kind this week. Earlier in the month, a man was arrested for throwing a corrosive substance at a man and woman and their baby on June 7th. Maybe that's why there's such a love affair with killing babies in the womb as well. Folks, we've got to turn back to God. Look what is happening in our world today. This world is rejecting God. It's rejecting His word. And we're seeing the judgments poured out on a nation and a world that's in objection and rejection of Him. Western Journal reports that Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov warned that the U.S. and Russia could be on the verge of another Cuban missile crisis just as a Russian warship entered Cuba's Havana harbor on Monday. Russia has largely been critical of the plans the U.S. has of deploying, that is, missile systems in Eastern Europe. The admiral has arguably argued that Russia's most powerful vessel docked in Havana while being watched by an American warship, the Express reports. Bank of America is stopping the financing of Obama's detention centers amid outrage over illegal alien detention centers established by President Obama. Bank of America announced it will end its association with companies that provide prisoner and immigrant detention services. If you're going to restrict those in any way, you're going to be part of a detention service for those who have entered our country illegally. Well, Bank of America going to stop financing, giving you finances. LifeNews.com, a bill to force every California public college and university to provide free abortions passed a state assembly committee on Tuesday. California Senate Bill 24 would require all public colleges and universities in California to provide abortion drugs to students on campus. It would require that the dangerous abortion drugs be offered for free to students up to 10 weeks of pregnancy by the deadline of January 1st, 2023. The state Senate passed this bill in May. The Democratic-controlled Assembly expected to pass it as well, despite strong public opposition, but Governor Gavin Newsom has expressed support for the legislation. Chicago Tribune, Governor J.B. Pritzker Tuesday signed into law a bill that will legalize marijuana in Illinois next year, making a momentous shift in how the state treats drug use. The bill will also allow the licensed growth, sales, possession, and consumption of cannabis for adults 21 and older. FoxNews.com, an Austin, Texas student group has threatened incoming freshmen that they will post their public information, that's doxing, if they join a conservative club on campus. The Autonomous Student Network, which was previously suspended from Twitter for doxing supporters of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh during his nomination process, is now threatening similar action to University of Texas Austin freshmen who join groups like the Young Conservatives of Texas or Turning Point USA. I'd like to open our phone lines here today. I've got so much more, but maybe you'd like to speak out on these issues and just where we're at as a nation. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Maybe you have comments about the debates, maybe comments on some of the stories that we've shared with you today as to where we're at such a time as this. Daily Signal says, if you think the secularists are busy at Christmas time, try again. Groups like Freedom From Religion Foundation stay in practice by cranking out letters on commencement speeches. And happened again in Appleton, that would be Wisconsin, as Pastor Alvin Dupree was the victim of their wrath. As he said, I made it no secret that I'm first and foremost a man of God. So when he mentioned his relationship with God in front of the school's 500 students, none of it should come as a surprise. Whatever your source of strength is, he told the seniors, you lean on it, never let anyone make you hide from it. For me, my source of strength is my faith, my relationship with Jesus. Didn't take long for the attorneys from Freedom From Religion Foundation to speak out against this. Also, LifeSiteNews.com, Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys filed a federal lawsuit Monday on behalf of a church-run grade school in the Baltimore area after Maryland officials revoked the school's eligibility to participate in a voucher program to benefit low-income students and demanded that the school pay back thousands of dollars for previous participation in the program. Bethel Christian Academy offers a faith-based education to more than 280 students in the Baltimore metro area, including students from over 40 different nations, children who recently immigrated to the U.S., and families with different or no religious affiliation. While over 20% of the students received some financial aid, many families were able to afford sending their children to Bethel because the school participated in the opportunities program there, the voucher program. Well, they are now punishing the school because the school has in their handbook positions and policies as it pertains to sexual relationships. And that is not passing muster with the state authorities there. And so Alliance Defending Freedom now filing a federal lawsuit on behalf of this church-run grade school. Let's go to the phone lines here on Crosstalk today. Our number 800-733-9829. We're going to begin in Marinette, Wisconsin. Denise, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. I love your programming, by the way, and we pray for you often.
Thank you.
I just have to say, the question keeps coming to my mind, what do we do about it? I know we pray. I know we are in our scripture. We surrender ourselves to Christ. But I have to say, I'm going to suggest we stop using the terminology that's confusing everybody. An example is, I do not call it the rainbow flag. I call it a multicolored flag. The rainbow belongs to God. Read Genesis 19:17. This is a sign of the covenant. He says, I have established it between you and me. Who's speaking? God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give them the rainbow. Second of all, LGBTQ, I never use it. I use sodomy and sodomites because I rest on Genesis 19. I think as Christians, we have to stop using the world's terminology. One last one, Jim. Women's reproductive rights. God says it's the right that they're asking for to kill the unborn. Right to choose, it's the right to kill their unborn.
Yeah.
I think we need to use new terminology. Let's use biblical. Let's claim what's God's. And let's stand strong in prayer, kindness, and love.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Beth in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Well, I say amen to that woman that just called. One thing I have to mention, Brett and I talk sometimes about when we grew up in the late 50s as young kids and then teenagers in 60s, and it was like we say, all this stuff that you hear, it's almost like you feel like you're in some kind of a perverse movie of some kind, because we said if these people were walking the streets when our grandmothers and grandfathers and parents were raising us, they would have whisked them up and put them away in some kind of asylum or either in some kind of a prison for their being pedophiles and perverse. And now it's supposed to be celebrated. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me. And
yeah.
They're always talking about caring about the children and all these people coming over the border with the children and your children in school, safety first. And what is safe about playing with the minds of your children and trying to make them confused about what they are?
Yeah.
They're recruiting our children for this perverse Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know, it really is, Beth. And then you go further and you say, you know, these right away, look at the children who are suffering at the border, and yet these politicians are the same ones that say, kill them in the womb. And it is such a hypocritical position that they're coming from, in a very depraved position as well.
It's evil. Plain, unadulterated evil.
Thank you, Beth, for the call. Laxley, Alabama. Lisa, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you so much for your program. I just wanted to call and say, we beg the Lord to help show us what to do in these situations, and it's just, I worry so much about my grandson. He's 3 years old,
mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry to cry. It's every day it's something worse, and if these aren't the end times, I don't know how much worse it could possibly get, so someone isn't saved. They need to, you know, they need to beg Lord Jesus to save them.
Yeah.
That's all.
Thank you for the call. Well, we're up against a break, and right after the break, I'm going to answer that question further. What do we do in such times? How do we respond to this? And I trust you'll stay tuned and listen. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America, our number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Recently, doing some research on capitalism and slavery, I stumbled upon an article online by Teen Vogue seeking to brainwash young teenagers into believing the evils of capitalism included such things as the creation of slavery. Well, Thomas Sowell points out in an excellent article that it is actually the Christians and the capitalists that ended slavery. Yes, indeed. The anti-slavery movement began with 12 religious men in London in 1787. They met in a print shop to discuss how they could end the scourge of slavery. 12 businessmen, 12 capitalists, 12 Christians. And their work led to Britain taking upon itself becoming the policeman of the world to board slave ships, and America joined in later, and it was the Christians and the capitalists who ended slavery.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. So what do we do? Yeah, times are getting worse and worse. What do we do? And I know you've heard this from me before, but I've got to hearken back to it. I really believe the Apostle Paul addressed this in his final epistle on the verge of his own execution, martyrdom. By the way, tomorrow, just a reminder, is the day of the martyr, the anniversary, according to tradition, that the Apostle Paul was martyred on account of his stand for the gospel. But as he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, "This know also in the last days, perilous times will come." And he described those. Men would be lovers of themselves, covetous, proud, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He then talked about how that men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And so he described that, and to me it's a commentary of what's taking place today. But then he said this, Timothy, he said, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures that are make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." He went on to remind him that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And then he said to Timothy in the next chapter, "Preach the word." And folks, that's the only thing that's going to transform hearts today, as the proclamation of God's word, the Bible. And that's what we need to do. We need to be light. We need to be salt. Impact those that you come in contact with. And stop filling your heads with trash. Let me just quick play one clip here before I go back to the phone lines. And I say this, I don't watch the program, but I saw this come through, and it was outrageous here. Many are watching this program called The Bachelorette that's on ABC. And Entertainment Tonight did a story of this Hannah Brower, I believe her name is, that is this bachelorette, or Brown, Heather Brown, Hannah Brown, I'll get that correct. And she was asked by one about if she's had relationships with anybody before. And here's what she said. Just listen in on this Entertainment Tonight clip.
Judged or shamed.
Yes, and it's like, regardless of any thing that I've done, that people might think, oh, well, that deserves a scarlet letter. That's not how it works. Like, I can do whatever I sin daily, and Jesus still loves me. Like, it's all washed. And if the Lord doesn't judge me and it's all forgiven, then no other man, woman, animal, anything, I don't know, anything can
Nobody's
judge me.
Nobody's judging Hannah B.
Nobody's going to judge me. I won't stand for it. I'm going to speak my mind about
Stop
it.
Filling your heads with this kind of trash, folks. The Bible says, if we continue in sin that grace may abound, God forbid. And here we have, and promoted through ABC, just this aspect of presuming upon God. It's okay for me to sin. I ask His forgiveness and everything's all right and nobody can judge me. Folks, stop filling your head with that philosophy. Stop filling your heads with this kind of trash that's out prevalent in the world today. The Bible says to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So let's be salt. Let's be light. Let's get back to the phones. John in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Afternoon, piggybacking on that first caller there, I'm bothered by terminology myself here, where anti-abortionists are called well, anti-abortionists instead of pro-lifers. That's what bothers me with the media. And, I mean, Black Lives Matter. Well, do they believe that black baby lives matter?
Thank you, John. Rex in Mora, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. This is Rex. I was just looking through the Bible, and in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, right, first thing Jesus says is, take heed that no one deceives you. And it's just amazing how we're just being bombarded with deception and outright lies about the things of this world.
Yeah.
So it's just a terrible time for Christians, and the truth of God, I guess, will prevail in the end. But it's a tough time right now.
It will prevail in the end, and yes, indeed. And Scripture reminds us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So we know times were tougher than what they are right now, and how important it is, Rex, for us to live the Word.
Yep.
Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Pensacola, Florida. Don, you're on the air.
Yes, Genesis 13:13, referring to the LGBTQ crowd. This is God's opinion on the subject. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. These people need to see that they're under the judgment of God so they can come to Christ, see their need, so they don't have to go to the lake of fire. That's all I have.
Okay, Don, thank you for your thoughts here today. And indeed, that applies to anyone who rejects the gospel. And that's why Scripture says, such were some of you. I am so thankful for God's redemptive plan, whereby he loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, do you have that everlasting life? Have you admitted before God that you are a sinner, recognizing that your sin separates you from him, that the wages or the payment of that sin is death, eternal separation from God forever? But God commendeth his love. He demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to place our trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Times are going to get worse, but friends, do that which is going to count for eternity, not that which is pleasurable for the moment. And as we see all that's taking place, what's it going to take to wake up to where we are in this world? And as a watchman on the wall, we're shouting the alarm as to what's taking place. Will you have ears to hear? Will you have ears to listen? Will you have ears to change your life as a result? Thanks for listening today here to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network as we talk about these critical issues together. And just a reminder, the Lord's Day is coming, and it's our prayer that you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, not just in attendance, but that you're going to hearken to the Word as it's proclaimed, and that you will be salt and light right where God has placed you. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.